It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. This week, the Michigan Court of Appeals dismissed a lawsuit claiming the state wrongfully accused people of unemployment fraud. Thousands of workers were penalized by the state because of computer errors, but the court says they waited too long to file their lawsuit. In other news, a couple days later, the state said it was dropping charges and arrest warrants against nearly 200 people accused of illegally collecting unemployment benefits and admits that many people were wrongly targeted by an automated computer system. Jack, it would seem the state has a long road ahead.
Well, this seemed like contradictory rulings, but they really aren't. I think the appeals court verdict will be challenged further. I mean, a lot of people underwent a lot of stress because they were falsely charged with defrauding the system when they didn't. It makes perfect sense for the state to drop all these lawsuits. In 93% of the cases where people were accused of fraud, they were innocent. So it made no sense for the state to bring these lawsuits, and they just figured they'd cut their losses, and if a case of fraud or two got by, it was worth it. Everybody just wants to have this behind them, except the poor people whose lives were made hell by being unfairly accused. So I suspect they'll go to the Supreme Court and file an appeal.
Oakland County sued the state this week over new standards that are meant to improve legal help for defendants who are too poor to pay for an attorney. The state created a commission in 2013 to fix the shortcomings of its indigent defense system, which had been rated one of the worst in the nation. Oakland County says the new standards for how counties should train, appoint, and review the performance of attorneys for poor defendants are unconstitutional and unfunded. Jack, is the county right here?
This is a very complex situation. They say it's unconstitutional on a technicality that has to do with the Michigan Supreme Court supervising the system, but there's sort of a catch-22. I understand any time local government is upset over what's called an unfunded mandate, the state says you got to do this but doesn't give them any more money for it. On the other hand, they're absolutely right about the ineffective and often very inadequate defense provided to indigent defendants. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of these cases now where people have been in jail for 20 or 30 years and it turned out that they were totally exonerated. And due to a law that was passed earlier this year, the state now has to pay them $50,000 a year for the time they're unfairly locked up behind bars. So I don't know how this will turn out, but I think in a perfect world, they would indeed require these attorneys to do a better job, and the state or somebody would provide the counties and municipalities with money for it.
The Ingham County Sheriff's Office says it will no longer detain people at the request of Immigration and Customs Enforcement unless there's a judge's order. Sometimes ICE will ask local police to hold inmates accused of immigration violations so that agents can take them into federal custody. Compliance is voluntary. The Ingham County Sheriff's Office says immigration matters are civil, not criminal, and it won't keep inmates past the detention period on their original booking charges. Wayne County already has a similar policy in place. Do you think others will follow suit?
If you want to know which counties are likely to follow suit, go get the little map of red and blue counties to see which voted for Trump and which voted for Clinton. And the eight counties that voted for Clinton are the most likely counties to sort of defy the government on this. Places like Wayne, Oakland, Kalamazoo, Washtenaw, Marquette in the Upper Peninsula, these are the counties that are most likely, especially in cases where they voted Democratic for social rather than economic reasons, to take issue and to refuse to enforce the president's policies on immigration.
It looks like the 2018 campaign will be a rematch in Michigan's 7th Congressional District. In one corner, we've got Republican Tim Walberg, one of the most socially conservative politicians in the state. He's held the seat since 2011. In the other corner, Democrat Gretchen Driscoll is back after losing big time to Walberg in 2016. The former Saline mayor says this time will be different. She's launching her campaign with an attack on Walberg's vote for the Republican health care bill. Jack, if you were a betting man, where would you put your money?
Well, down in Tennessee, where I used to live, they used to say you ran once to get known and the second time to get elected. But this is going to be a very difficult road for Gretchen Driscoll. On paper, she's a more conservative, moderate Democrat, appealing person, but she lost by 15 points in a general election year when you expect more Democrats to turn out. I would certainly expect that margin would decrease because there's always a backlash against the party in power. Governor Snyder's unpopular. President Trump's ratings are low in Michigan. But it's a real long shot to imagine. Imagine, barring some scandal or something, the Democrats winning that district. They've been trying for a long time with a record of futility, but in politics, as in life, you never say never.
All right, Jack. Well, never stop giving us your political insights.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I'll go hide.
Jack Lassenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.